Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. It's such a blessing to know that you're listening, and you're going to be hearing wonderful scripture like John 14, verse 6. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father. No one goes to heaven without accepting and believing in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. You have a special place in God's plan. You really do. I know some of you think that you don't have anything in God's plan. You have a special place. When you give your heart and what you are to Him, lay that body and that soul out on the altar so God can take it up and use it. I mean, it's wonderful to realize He has a special place for each and every one of you listening. May your steps be ordered by Him and blessed with peace today. It was so refreshing. I was listening to Fox News, and they had President Trump on with his whole cabinet, and they had an hour of going from one secretary to another, Tulsi to Pam Bondi to Robert Kennedy to Elon to Pete to Marco Rubio, to make the government more efficient. And it was such a blessing to hear them honoring the President of the United States. They had nothing but good to say to him, and he is so pleased. He said, all of you are doing such a great job. Now, how long has it been since we've heard a president say that? Oh, wow. It's just a blessing. I am just enjoying life at this point. Oh, praise the Lord. So we're praying daily for President Trump and his cabinet and the government that God has given us a privilege of seeing come into fruition. Praise the Lord. We have a meeting this Saturday, April 12th, and I would like to have you attend, and it starts at 10 o'clock, and it's going to be nice and warm, so we'll probably eat on the patio. And we'll be having a lesson on the on Jesus Christ, the sacrifice lamb, because it's Passover on Saturday. And if you would like to stay for lunch and bring a side dish to accompany the beef casserole I'll be fixing, if your last name begins with A through M, bring a dessert. And if your last name begins with N through Z, bring a salad. Or you can bring your favorite. I mean, anything goes right now at this point. We'll enjoy it. Anything you bring. Call me at 1-877-917-7256. And I appreciate you calling me before noon on Friday. I really do, because I'm fixing the entree and I like to know how many people are really coming. So 1-877-917-7256. Welcome to Call to Freedom, Kimberly.
Thank you. I love just chatting with you and having these conversations. And You started out this program talking about the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except that they believe in Jesus Christ, that they accept Him. And what that means is that we accept that Christ is so full of love and the Father is so full of love that the Father gives His only Son to this world as that sacrificial lamb, like you talked about. This Passover is really celebrating the sacrificial lamb who gave His life, and the Son came willing to give His life because of that supernatural love. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4 that God is love. And so we were talking about that yesterday and wanted to dig into this more, because our natural human way of thinking is not very loving. Mm-mm. And it's not very kind, and it doesn't have much of the fruits of the Spirit. And so we have to dig through this stony, stubborn heart that's in the human to get to the supernatural. And in order for that to happen, we have to be willing to ask for help, because we can't do it on our own. We have got to have help from Jesus Christ. So whoever believes that Jesus will help, then they have found a way into the kingdom.
That's right. Did you give me this little passage, this little paragraph from John Slow Learner Rodel? I don't know if you did.
Yes.
Okay, I have it here. I printed it out again. Maybe we are all here to teach each other how to love. And it goes into this paragraph, if you don't mind my reading it. Maybe Earth is a classroom and we take turns being students and professors. Maybe we need to quit grading each other so harshly. Woo. Maybe the only homework assignment we have been given is solving the equation of kindness. Maybe empathy is just a study abroad program where we spend time in the hearts of strangers. Maybe forgiveness is the final exam. Maybe we are never meant to graduate and remain forever students of how to love and care for each other. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, yes. And I think I'm remembering correctly. I think our producer, Rachel, might have turned me to this person, John Rodel. So she may have something to do with that. And I'm thankful for that perspective.
Yes.
Mark 11:22-24 says, "Let the faith of God be in you." His faith is so full of love. His faith looks at the condition of this world and the condition of our hearts and believes that we will be made like him. That is the faith of God. Let that faith be in you. When you see others in your life, let that faith look at them and say, you know what? They're going to change.
Yes.
Not because I'm making them change, not because I've got these great ideas and opinions of how to make it work, but because God is at work. So let his passages, let God's pathways in your mind take over instead of the old ways of thinking and the natural instincts. Mm-hmm. Whoever says to the mountain, this is back to Mark 11, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. What are these mountains? These mountains are emotions, emotional reactions. They are our own judgments, our own ideas, our own assessments of people, our own assessments of situations in this life. And those come, it's such a natural tendency to gain knowledge, to receive understanding in this world, and then apply it to everyone around us.
That's
They're
right.
automatic pathways in our brains. And these passageways do damage to relationships. Relationships are what God is looking for. And I can give an example. 15 years ago, when I learned how harmful gluten is to my own body, I began to eat gluten-free, and I automatically thought it was harmful for everyone. So I began to educate everybody in my path on the benefits of going gluten-free. And that's just pride. You know, it's pride that says that everybody needs to do what I'm doing. Well, that was my own judgment, my own assessment. And this is exactly how legalism begins. It is what Phariseeism looks like. It's making a new rule and applying it to everyone. And this does not promote relationship. In fact, it tears down relationships, all for the sake of following rules or being right, about something.
Yes, being right.
And that is not how our God approaches any of us. He does not come to any of us and say, I'm right, you're wrong, and you better just line up with me. If you think that's how God is approaching you, take another look. Read 1 John 4. This is not who our God is. Our God is love. And these mountains that could be cast into the sea, when we have his faith and we say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, these mountains are not just our judgments and ideas, but also our expectations. We can cast down our expectations into the sea of forgetfulness, and that's another way of building relationships. Expectations, they tear people down. It does not make you approachable when you've got expectations of others. When we give false expectations to others by acting a part and being superior and controlling and in the know, that severely compromises relationship. We know when we are not meeting someone's expectations that it's crippling. You know, if we see ourselves in someone else's eyes and go, oh, I just didn't do what they were expecting. It's devastating.
Yes.
And when others are not meeting our expectations, then we are frustrated and we're demanding, and that's devastating to them. So expectations really kill relationship. Mm-hmm. The Lord does not come to us and say, I'm Emmanuel, God with you, if you check all these things off the list.
Yeah.
He doesn't say that. He does not have expectations. So we, as his own sons and daughters, we must learn to drop our expectations or have them just uprooted altogether, get them out of our lives, let go of our own judgments and opinions, let it all be thrown into the sea. That is what Mark 11 is talking about.
Yes.
That's the faith of God. And when we have seen our own minds change and our own hearts change, that's when we know there are miracles happening. That's how we become like Jesus.
Yes.
And we cannot do this work on our own. I can't say that enough. We need Holy Spirit to help us become the sanctuary that we were intended to be. And when you think of the word sanctuary, you have to remember that that is who we are. God wants to dwell among his people, and he showed us over and over in the Old Testament how he would come and be with his people, build a sanctuary for me. Solomon built a beautiful temple for the presence of the Lord so the Lord could be in the midst of his people.
Yes.
When Jesus came, he did a new work so that the temple that was existing, the veil was torn in two. And this was not just like a little bridal veil. This was a huge piece of fabric. Some people, some historians believe that it was 4 or 5 inches thick, this fabric.
Wow.
For it to be torn down the middle was impossible. But it was torn. When Jesus died, that veil that was between the holy place and the Holy of Holies was torn. It was ripped in half. Because now God does not need a temple and a veil. He gets to dwell in us because of the work of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. In us.
Yes. Yes.
We are the sanctuary. Well, are we really? Are our thoughts really a sanctuary kind of place for the Holy Spirit to dwell, for the Spirit of the living God to dwell? We must decrease, right? We've got to get our own expectations and judgments out of the way, and he must increase for us to be a real sanctuary for him.
That's right.
So this means that we'll be treating people differently, because the Lord himself treats people with so much love, generosity, and kindness. And you might be asking, well, do I have to love people up close? Can I just love people from a distance? You know, send them a gift card or donations, order a meal and be delivered to them. That's enough, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It really depends on how Holy Spirit is leading. Are we listening to the voice and the whisper of our Heavenly Father? Are we really reaching out the way he would reach out? Jesus had no expectations of us, and that's what makes him so approachable. Mm-hmm. He is accessible. He is gentle and humble. He does not expect us to rise to his standard. He is lowly and comes down to where we are.
Yes.
So we will know his love right where we exist.
That's right.
And humility is willing to do that. Humility is willing to walk into someone's situation and listen and forgive. Humility does not require us to jump through all these hoops and keep up a good face. You know, it does not need us to be balancing perfectly on this tightrope of life.
Yes.
We're so much more approachable and accessible to others when we drop our expectations.
That's right. I love the word you said, accessible. We need to be accessible. And that can be through, you know, someone calling and saying, I need you right now, or just needs to have someone who can hug you or someone who can tell you that they love you. Accessibility is really important. And we've found, Kimberly, on the internet that all these texts don't make the people accessible to hugging and to loving and to compassion. They really don't. Because most of the people that you get texts from and likes from, they're people you'll never meet in your whole life. So the people right. that God brings into our lives, we need to be accessible for them. Yes.
Yeah.
That's
into
right.
our circle.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I suppose the technology that we do have and the social media, we just need to be accessible by being open with our words. You know, words can invite people to share more, or they can shut people down. And so being able to say, huh, that's an interesting perspective. I'd like to hear more. And being open and accessible for sharing more. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son. That is John 3:16. God so loved the world, the whole world. And we've generalized that scripture. We've memorized it. We need to remember that it's not just those of the same race that he loved and he gave his only son to.
That's right.
Not just those who are of the same religion. God so loved the Romans that murdered his son. God so loved the Pharisees and Sadducees who plotted against his son. Wow. God so loved the crowds who rejected his son.
And said, crucify him, crucify him. Yes.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yes.
And I'll just roll this in. I had somebody ask me a question about my perspective on Judas, because I've shared this before. God so loved Judas. God is the author and the finisher of our story, the author and the finisher of our faith, the author and the finisher of this whole creation and what we're here for. When you are an author, you write in the bad guys. They have to be written into a story. A story is boring if it has no bad guys. You have to
true.
Have bad guys. And you have to have that story of rejection or betrayal or loss. It's a story that is written by God himself. And if you think that I'm trying to rewrite the Bible and say, you know, Judas, he was just doing what God told him to do, but God forgives him. I'm not trying to rewrite the story. I don't want to put God in a box. That's what I don't want to do. If God wants to forgive Judas and send Jesus, like it says in Ephesians 4, down to the depths, the lowest parts of the earth, to preach captivity captive. You know, Judas was there.
That's right.
Judas was at the lowest of lows. The depths of the earth, down in Hades, you know. So if our God wants to send his son to the lowest of low places, to Hades, to preach to those captives there and take them captive for himself, then who am I to limit that love and that forgiveness of God?
That's
who am
right.
I to say that that's not possible? Because yes, you're right. It is impossible for man. But with God, all things are possible.
That's right.
So really what it comes down to is, why are we trying to limit the love and the forgiveness of God? Is it because we do not have that love and that forgiveness in our own hearts? We've got to remember, God so loved those who murdered his son.
I believe, Kimberly.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I believe that this people, dividing people, well, she's going to hell, he's going to hell, it came from this religious, pharisaical spirit. It came from this spirit that said, well, I am holy enough to be able to judge this person going to hell and that person going to hell. No, you aren't. God is the supreme judge of all. And that's we right. should love and love until we can't love any longer, which I don't think is possible because God keeps pouring that love in, especially for our obnoxious relatives. Yeah, our obnoxious relatives, we have to love them because God, we never know when Holy Spirit's going to get hold of them. Maybe at the very point of death, they will reach right. out to Jesus Christ. So how right. dare we judge whether he's going to hell or she's going to hell? That is that religious, horrible religious spirit. It yeah. really is.
It just isn't our job.
No,
it's
no.
not our job
no,
to
it
be
isn't.
Concerned with that even a little bit.
That's right.
Our job is found in 1 John 4. That is to love one another mm-hmm. as God has loved us.
That's
that
right.
is to study his love, to become love. We can't do it on our own.
No.
We really need help becoming love. And that's why I try to present that, you know what? What if Judas, yes, I'm talking about Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and gave him over to be delivered up and to be crucified. What if he has been forgiven?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just presenting an idea because it challenges the human heart. If you have a real resistance to that idea, if it makes you angry, maybe you need to ask why.
Yeah,
because
we must,
why would we limit God's love and forgiveness?
That's right. We need to remember that betrayal was in God's plan. And I say so many times in Isaiah 53, it pleased the Father to crush his son. So we know someone had to do it. Someone had to do it. He had to be there to betray Jesus. So I admire your stance, and I really believe that we need to look more into that kind of love and compassion for even our enemies. Jesus said himself, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you, which,
right.
yeah, became a supreme thing for Jesus when he knew Judas was going to go out and betray him. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
wow.
really, this is a good place to just bring it back around. That is the way, the truth, and the life.
Oh, yes.
Is being that kind of love, being willing to be made into that kind of love. If you're resistant to it, that's... And I think my perspective on Judas causes resistance to rise up. If you are resistant in hearing that mm-hmm. perspective, mm-hmm. then it's a good opportunity to say, well, why am I resistant to this? I certainly was. I was resistant to it when I first came across that idea. And then I just sat with it and thought, mm-hmm. well, that's not my job. You know, maybe we need to see that God so loves us that he does not prevent us from doing him the greatest harm possible, betraying him, mm-hmm. rebelling against mm-hmm. him, rejecting him.
Mm-hmm.
He does not try to prevent that. He so loves us that he lets us have our own way, and he forgives us.
And he keeps loving through all of that.
Yeah. Through that forgiveness, right?
Yes.
That is supernatural. That is amazing love. You know, when you hear stories of women who have lost their children in a murder or an accident, and that person who murdered was caught, put in prison, and I've heard more than one story of this, where the woman just decided to go and visit that one
mm-hmm.
who had murdered her son, or
yes.
her daughter.
Yes.
And this mother that would go in forgiveness and in love. Those are incredible stories to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they are supernatural stories, not done out of human love. That's supernatural love.
That's right.
That's someone who is open to the love of God and the forgiveness of God, transforming them. So that they are no longer just stubborn, hard-hearted, but they're soft-hearted and have the love of God. And they're on that person's side, wanting to see the other person transformed as well.
That's right. Yes.
That's beautiful. So when we think to ourselves, who is it that has done us great harm? I like to sit with that and just wonder, okay, I can go through a list of people who've done harm to me, who've really hurt my heart? And am I willing to become the love of God and the forgiveness of God and say, it's all right. It's all right that they hurt me like that. I forgive them.
Yes.
That's a lifelong journey and a battle to lay down our own flesh, to crucify it on that cross that Jesus told us to take up. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It does feel like crucifying our flesh, to let go of unforgiveness, to let go of judgments and opinions, to let go of expectations of others, and to follow Jesus in this supernatural love.
That's right.
This is our mission.
That's right. That's how Jesus could say on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And even Stephen, who was the first martyr in the book of Acts, he said that very thing as they were stoning him to death. So that's a kind of compassionate love, like St. Francis of Assisi says, the way of God is the way of love. Oh, love that.
Yes. And then let's just recognize where the enemy is distracting us in order to destroy relationship,
mm-hmm.
and choose to drop our pride, choose to bring repairs, choose to have a lowly heart, and choose forgiveness, choose reconciliation and relationship, and choose love. Let's pray like David did in Psalm 139. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Examine me through and through. Find out everything that may be hidden within me, and see if there is any path of pain that I'm walking on. Lead me to your glorious everlasting ways, the path that leads me in the everlasting way. That's love.
That's love. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Kimberly. This has been so good, so deep. And I want all of us to remember God is love. He truly is, and he loves you today. Just one more little reminder of the meeting on Saturday, April the 12th. Call me at 1-877-917-7256. God bless you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in